Daniel Davidson in the audience yet? Okay, it looks like, again, after this, if he does not show up, we'll have 15 minutes to continue on the discussion, which is fantastic, on the use of the resins, because certainly I'm interested in it. And anyway, if he doesn't show up, we'll go that route. The next presentation is by Rassel Parvej from the University of Arkansas, and it's entitled In-Season Diagnosis of Potassium Deficiency in Soybean Using Trifoliate Leaf and Petiole Potassium Concentration.
Thank you, sir, for your introduction. Seems like I'm in Asia seeing that diet. Thank you. I would like to start with a brief introduction about critical trifoliate leaf K concentration in soybean at R2 stage. When I say critical trifoliate leaf potassium concentration, I'm meaning only the leaf leg that exclude petiole. And it's consistent in my entire presentation, just for you guys having not any confusion. And the reason I use the term trifoliate leaf K is I see in the literature, that's why. So this graph represents the relationship between relative yield and trifoliate leaf K concentration at R1, R2 stage. It is developed by Slayton et al. In 2010, and they showed that relative soybean yield is highly correlated with trifoliate leaf K concentration at R1, R2 stage. And there are several other research that showed the similar relationship, and the predicted trifoliate leaf K concentration ranges from 15 to 19 gram potassium per kilogram. My main point is from this slide, this trifoliate leaf K concentration is the only information, currently available at R1, R2 stage to diagnose potassium deficiency during the growing season. It means if a farmer sends us a tissue sample at R4 stage, we cannot interpret the tissue potassium concentration at that stage. Now the question is, if we can interpret tissue potassium concentration at R4 stage, can we get rescue soybean yield loss from potassium deficiency? Well, this graph will answer this question. It shows petiole potassium uptake across the growing season in the above ground plant parts. So recently, Bender et al. Showed that soybean accumulates about 40% of the potassium at R2 stage and 65% of the maximum potassium at R4 stage, and potassium accumulation maximized at R6 stage. My point is, at R4 stage, plants still need 35% of the potassium. So if we identify potassium deficiency at that stage, we can still put fertilizer to rescue soybean yield loss. This graph represents seasonal dynamics of trifoliate leaf potassium concentration across growing season. Here the x-axis is the days after planting, y-axis is the leaf potassium concentration in gram potassium per kilogram. The data showed that trifoliate leaf K concentration plateaued from the vegetative stage to the starting of the reproductive stage, like blooming at R2 stage, then declined linearly from R2 stage to R6 stage or up to leaf senescence. My point is, if the rate of decline remains constant across potassium fertility level, soybean cultivar, and site year, we can predict critical potassium concentration at any growth stage beyond the R2. And I will clarify this point during my results section. This graph represents the dynamics of petiole potassium concentration during the growing season across different potassium fertility levels. It is developed by Hanway and Weaver. They showed that petiole potassium concentration also peaked during blooming and then declined linearly up to leaf senescence. So based on all of this information, we hypothesize that both the trifoliate leaf and petiole potassium concentration would peak at blooming and then decline linearly across the reproductive growth stage. So the objective of our study was to develop a critical trifoliate leaf K and petiole potassium concentration across reproductive stage by characterizing the season-long dynamics of trifoliate leaf and petiole potassium concentration across a wide range of soil potassium availability and soybean cultivar, and by correlating the relative soybean yield with the trifoliate leaf K and petiole potassium concentration at each reproductive stage. For this objective, we conducted research at Pine Tree Research Station in Calhoun and Calloway silt loam. In 2012, 13, and 14, we used three glyphosate-resistant soybean cultivars ranging from maturity group 3 to 5. Maturity group 3 and 4 represents indeterminate growth habit, and maturity group 5 represents determinate growth habit. We collected 15 uppermost recently matured trifoliate leaf samples at 7 to 10 days interval, starting from V6 to R6 stage. One more time, we collected only the leaflet that exclude petiole for this three study. Then we conducted two additional research trials in 2014 at Stuttgart and in Pine Tree. We used only one maturity group for the Stuttgart trial and two maturity groups for Pine Tree trial. And the trial was conducted in a long-term potassium fertilization trial that across five annual potassium fertility rate, ranging from 0 to 150 kilogram potassium per hectare per year. And this time, we collected 15 trifoliate leaf samples with petiole across the growing season from the third node from the top at 7 to 10 days interval, starting from V6 to R6 stage. And then we separate petiole from the trifoliate leaf and get the potassium concentration for individual plant parts. Then we regressed both the trifoliate leaf and petiole potassium concentration across time, I mean days after emergence, using a linear slope model and linear model. Then we also regressed the relative soybean yield with trifoliate leaf and petiole potassium concentration at each reproductive stage using linear plateau model. Moving on results, this is an example of the dynamics of tissue potassium concentration across time, as predicted with the linear slope model. The main purpose of using linear slope model to see what the petiole or trifoliate leaf K concentration gets peaked, I mean to find out the growth stages. And we see both the trifoliate leaf and petiole potassium concentration peaks at R1, R2 stage, that is blooming, then decline linearly up to R6 stage. Then we took the data from the R1, R2 stage to R6 stage and analyzed with linear model to compare if the rate of decline is remain constant across a wide range of soybean cultivar, potassium fertility level, and site year. And this graph represents the linear decline of trifoliate leaf K concentration for trial conducted at Stuttgart across five potassium fertilization rate. Two important points here. Number one, leaf potassium concentration increase as the potassium fertility level increase, regardless of soybean growth stage or time. And number two, leaf potassium concentration decrease linearly at the same rate from the R2 to R6 stage, regardless of annual potassium fertility rate. And the rate of decline was consistent for other trials. And this table represents the rate of decline for each location and the source of variation. And we see, for regardless of the location or source of variation, trifoliate leaf K concentration declined at a very similar rate from the R2 stage to R6 stage. That averages 0.197 gram potassium per kilogram per day. Moving on, petiole potassium concentration. And again, this trial represents the research conducted at Stuttgart across five annual potassium fertility level. And once again, petiole potassium concentration also peaked at R1 stage, then declined linearly at the same rate regardless of annual potassium fertilization rate. And the rate of decline was consistent for trial conducted at Pine Tree Research Station across two soybean cultivars and five annual potassium fertilization rate. These two graphs represent the correlation between relative soybean yield and trifoliate leaf care concentration at R2 stage. The main point I like to highlight here, petiole potassium concentration was better correlated with relative soybean yield at R2 stage. And the predicted potassium concentration for the trifoliate leaf was ranged from 14 to 19 gram potassium per kilogram, and for petiole range from 39 to 47 gram potassium per kilogram. I'm very excited to show this relationship for the petiole because I haven't seen any literature that showed or described the critical potassium concentration for petiole. However, petiole potassium concentration at blooming is very or strongly correlated for cotton. And this is the method that farmers usually or researchers usually take the petiole sample to diagnose potassium deficiency for cotton and lots of vegetables crop. And the critical potassium concentration over here represents the 95% confidence limit of the joint point of the leaf potassium concentration or petiole potassium concentration. And the relationship for the other reproductive stage was very strong and comparable for both the trifoliate leaf and petiole up to R5.5 stage. That also suggests us it is possible to predict a critical potassium concentration at each reproductive stage. Well, based on all of this information, like our critical potassium concentration at R2 stage and our linear declining rate, we develop a linear model to predict the critical potassium concentration across reproductive stages. And we use our intercept value, like our critical potassium concentration as an intercept value for the leaf, and the same concept was used for the petiole, like critical potassium concentration at R2 stage. Here the x-axis is the days after full bloom. You can see the 0 days is the R2 stage, and the 10 days is R3 stage. We estimated the days between growth stages from the literature and across our 5 trials. And we used our average declining rate for the trifoliate leaf and petiole as a slope value. So the main point is any potassium concentration less than the solid line would be deficient, and higher than the broken line would be sufficient. When you compare both the model, we see petiole potassium concentration decline at 3 times higher rate than the trifoliate leaf care concentration. That would allow us to separate that critical potassium concentration between growth stages. That also tells us petiole may be a better sample to diagnose potassium deficiency during the growing season for soybean. That is the novel part of our research. So we summarize that trifoliate leaf and petiole potassium concentration peaked at R1, R2 stages and then declined linearly at constant rate with plant age. And soybean relative yield was strongly correlated with both the petiole and the leaf potassium concentration from R2 to R5.5 stages. But petiole was both better correlated at R2 stages. And the critical potassium concentration during the reproductive stage was the negative linear function of time. So the practical application of our model, that model needs to be validated before being used to the field, because we just got access 5 trials. Though it is very consistent, but it needs to be validated. But it is possible to interpret the soybean potassium nutritional status during the reproductive stage, which could help correct potassium deficiency and increase soybean yield and quality. Thank you all. I'd like to acknowledge my co-author and the funding agencies. Thank you. Very good question. Question was, if I use like all our concentration based on the top leaf, So how can I correct potassium deficiency during the growing season? I would say if I apply, I would broadcast this because the amount of potassium is needs to be corrected. The potassium is very high salt intake. You cannot put enough fertilizer to get a yield response. But if it is needs minimum, then can be an option. But research suggests that broadcast works better than the like a foliar feeding. So I would apply like a broadcast or throw with the airplane during the growing season. No, I'm talking about solid fertilizer like potash or potassium chloride. Potassium chloride, muriate of potash.
I noticed in the graphs that related seed yield with potassium in the leaf or the petiole, the relative yield started in 80 or 85%. Right? So I'm just curious why you didn't have lower levels that would provide, consequently, lower relative yields. Is that on purpose or?
The question was the relative yield starting from 80, you said?
That's what I
Well, it's only based on three trial data, but what I showed earlier, Dr. Slaton showed that the relative yield started like 60s and like its ranges, it has a 34 site here data. But my research was based like just suggest we can still use the critical potassium concentration at R2 state, whatever the literature suggests, just the 15 to 19 gram potassium. If you use that critical potassium concentration at an intercept and use our slope value, it will still, if the interpretation doesn't change. So the main point was the slope value, what rate is declining after R2.
All right, we're going to let's thank Rasmus.